Why do I have to be the one who decides if you sell your car?
Oh, I was just asking your opinion. It wasn't like a definitive.
Out of the blue.
Well, because out of the blue, you told me you were selling your car.
I'm having a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, doing my stuff. And then I get this text out of the blue that says, should I sell my car? I'm like, well, I don't understand this. What's happening right now? Am I someone else? Did I miss something?
Well, you talked about selling your lovely little vehicle.
It made me question the fabric of reality because it made no sense at all.
It made perfect sense.
Any sense of it.
It made perfect sense.
No, it made no sense because I don't know anything about you or your car.
I got a notice from Ford. They're like, your car's worth more now than ever. Then I'm kind of like, well, you know, it has a scratch. It takes a lot of gas.
Scratch. It probably doesn't take as much gas as most cars.
And
it's not that big of a car.
No, it's not. And then I'm kind of like, should I do it? And then do I want another Ford? What do I do then? And how expensive? And so I thought, I'll just ask James because he's selling his car. It was all connected in my mind. I don't know why it was such a poof.
Right. But the thing is, I don't have access to your mind. Thank the Lord above. I don't have access to your mind. So I don't know of all the variables that you're thinking about, all the things in your life. I know the variables that I'm dealing with, and I did sell my car.
Oh, you did? Congratulations.
I did.
Yay.
Yeah, they gave me a boatload of money for it, way more than it's worth.
That's what you were saying. That was my motivator. That's what I was getting at. And you were the impetus for that.
It's worth more today than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
That's awesome. I'm so jealous.
I think it was $20,000 or $21,000 that I paid for this car
right.
in 2012.
Right.
So it's 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It only has 50,000 miles, which is pretty low for a car. But still, that really doesn't make that much of a difference in the overall scheme of things, especially for a Toyota that's going to do at least 250,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me $13,000 for it.
13? I thought you said 12.
Yeah. The actual check I got was $13,000.
Oh, I love it.
So that's less than $1,000 a year to have the car.
See, that's my motivator. That's why I asked you, because I'm like, should I send my information in? I mean, it does have the scratch, but...
Why are you worried about the scratch? They'll buff that out.
Because it's like not perfect. It had to be like in the perfect...
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay.
My paint is peeling. My paint literally started peeling like 3 weeks ago. And that was one of the reasons, like, well, shit, this car is probably as valuable as it ever is. It's not falling apart, but obviously... Paint peeling is a sign that you have an older car now.
Right. No, my paint's perfectly intact. My father once took a car away to get new tires on it and drove home with a new car. He said it was too much of a hassle just to get the tires replaced.
You know, the people in your life, I don't think you should really model your life on these people.
So now you know where I get it. But I guess the jury's out in terms of getting another Ford because I'm kind of done with that.
Why? What's wrong with Ford?
I had that recall on this little vehicle.
Everyone has recalls.
Oh, okay. But that's the second time I had that other car and I had the recall.
Literally everyone has recalls. I don't know if there's a vehicle that hasn't had a recall. At least one, if not multiple.
When did the 2023s come out? Because I only like to buy cars with odd number years.
I don't know.
Because that'll be the definitive thing.
Why does it have to be an odd year?
I don't know. I just like odd numbers way better than even numbers. I always have.
Yeah,
I know.
Can you be an adult for 5 seconds?
We could just move on. It's just another one of my little picadillos.
You know, for us, one of the reasons we were selling it was because we have two cars, but we don't need two cars. And another option is to sell the second car and buy one car, basically turn two used cars into one new car, which we could do pretty well because the Toyota dealership I was working with swore up and down that they don't sell above MSRP. So we could actually order a new car and not lose that much money.
Are you going to do it?
We're still thinking about it. It's like we have a perfectly functional car, so why do we need a new one? I'm not sure. The only two competitors are either just the regular Prius,
mm-hmm,
or the Ford Maverick.
Yeah, I like that Maverick.
Ford Maverick Hybrid.
I think that'd be great for you guys, though. And I do think you will go camping.
It's the exciting choice, but it's not the practical choice. Even though it is the cheaper choice, it is cheaper than a Prius. And the reason the RAV4 got knocked off, the RAV4 Hybrid, was because it's considerably cheaper than the RAV4, like by $8,000.
Right.
And it's more efficient as well. And it has a bed. So I don't know why anyone would consider the RAV4 when there's the Ford Maverick Hybrid for less money and has a bed. I think what's going to happen, though, if I actually go and look at one, I'm going to think, no, this thing is too big. You know, coming from a Prius, even a small truck is a lot bigger than a Prius.
Well, I thought you said it was built on the platform of, like, mine, the Escape.
It is. And
my Escape's not that big.
Oh, it's a lot bigger than my car.
Well, anything's bigger than your car. Clown car.
I know,
car
that's
is
my point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you would need a new car. Unless you want to sell your car and just get an electric bike.
An electric bike. No, I do need a vehicle.
I don't think so. I think you could get along fine with an electric tricycle.
No, I've got to haul these people around. You know,
Electric tricycle. You put them in the back or the front, depending upon where you put the basket.
But I have two people I've got to haul.
How much do they weigh? I'm sure they can
enough.
Fit in the basket.
Well, my dad doesn't. But I do need a vehicle. I've got to take the car in to have that thing fixed, whatever the recall was. And then I'm going to look at some cars. In essence, I think I am going to be in a holding pattern. There's no reason for me to trade up or down or sideways or anything with this. I've hardly driven it. I would love one of those Mavericks, though. I just think they're adorable. I don't think that would be a good vehicle for this family, though.
I don't think it would necessarily be a bad one.
No?
You can step up into the vehicle. Let me not step up into it, but it's easy. I think it's easy to ingress and egress from.
Okay.
I think you'd have to check it out. But like I said, it's basically your car turned into a pickup truck.
Yeah, it's a little difficult for mom to get into my car.
Well, it's better than trying to step down into a small car.
Right. Even back in the day when I had my Mustang and it was so low and they were so much younger, it was very difficult for them to get in and out of it. It was actually getting hard for me to get in and out of it. It was just too low.
This seems like a really good car to have bought then. Yeah, it totally makes sense. I think it's important to point out, though, that now is a bad time to buy a new car because the new models are coming out and there's a new Prius. It seems like all the rumors say that it's going to be a new generation of Prius.
So it'll
be
nice.
I think it'll be the fifth generation. Mm-hmm. So one question, should you get the end of the fourth, the Gen 4, or should you wait for the Gen 5? Do you really want the first car, the first year of
it? Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Anyway, so that's the car story. So what's the most important thing that's happening this week, Catherine?
The most important thing?
That was a cue to talk about
the
not very important thing that's happening halfway around the world from us in a market that is not our market, that has no impact on us.
I was really worried about the South Korean network usage fee, and now I've talked myself down from that ledge.
You have or other people have?
Other people have.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain net neutrality to our two listeners?
I am genuinely not really qualified to explain net neutrality because it sounds really simple, but it's actually considerably more complicated than you think.
Oh, of course it is. Yes.
Right. But generally speaking, the idea of net neutrality is that once you have access to the internet, the network, you're good to go. The basic idea of how our market works now with the internet is that it's based on access fees.
Mm-hmm.
You pay an access fee to get onto the internet, and once you are there, you don't pay anything else.
Right.
At least for the data transfer. You know, obviously, you have to pay Netflix additional fees to be a subscriber. You pay to be a Netflix subscriber, but you don't pay for the data fees that it costs for Netflix to send you that data. Right.
Right.
So you pay to be a subscriber, but you don't pay the delivery fee. Net neutrality is basically in opposition to the other model of delivery fee. So think of the mail system. Like if you want to send 1,000 flyers out, you have to pay for each one of those flyers.
Right.
That's a delivery fee, right? You pay for each one of those to go out as opposed to access fee. So, and that's the physical world versus the digital world. So the access fee that the current internet works on works really well to grow markets because it means that you don't... Once you're on, you can experiment and do all kinds of different things without having to worry about incurring any additional fees, as opposed to delivery fees where every single thing you send out, you've got to pay for. And that really restricts what you can do and what you can experiment with.
It really does. Earlier in the week, I was just, you know, I'd seen that YouTube video that I sent you that was on Asian Boss about the network usage fees. And, you know, it's like, should we be worried or not? And I got very upset because I guess there's like three ISPs in South Korea. And it started with one of them, SK, kind of versus Netflix for Netflix wanting to, you know, implement usage fees. I think it was like $20 million
a year.
Well,
not Netflix wanting to do it. SK wanted to.
SK wanted to implement that.
And so let's just make sure we're clear on this. So
okay, go ahead.
The South Korean ISPs, the people you pay to get onto the network, wanted to start charging more for delivering the content from specific providers like Netflix.
Netflix.
Because, you know, they do, obviously Netflix generates a lot more traffic and a lot more data over the network than most companies do.
Right. And, you know, to be honest with you, I never saw it from their perspective.
From whose perspective? Netflix or SK?
From the ISP. I just never saw it from their perspective that they would have to up the ante and put more money into their infrastructure to continue providing content, whether it went viral or whether it was Netflix or Google or whatever, you know? And so, I mean, just looking at it from their perspective, there's a part of me that understands, but I still mm-hmm. think it's...
So let's just be clear about what we're talking about. Yes. SK is an internet service provider, ISP, mm-hmm. and that's who we individually pay for to get onto the internet. So you pay $50 a month, hopefully not more than that, to get 500 megabytes or a gigabit download, mm-hmm. and that's a flat fee. So they're getting, you know, $50 from everyone,
right.
basically, to build the infrastructure, to build the cables from their servers, mm-hmm. from their locations to your house. That's like half the internet. Mm-hmm. ISPs, you know, basically, and it's not, they share lines in some cases. Mm-hmm. They used to anyway, with phone lines. When the internet, I don't know if you kids remember this, but the internet used to go over the phone line at a whopping 56 kilobits per second.
Yes.
And I don't know, it would take probably a year to download one Netflix movie at that speed.
A year? Oh, yeah. So efficient.
Well, it was efficient. It was just slow.
Right.
Anyway, so that's what the ISP is. So the ISP, you know, has a lot to maintain. And if they have one provider that's literally blasting them like with a hose of content, they have to compensate for that. But Netflix already does that. Netflix already works with ISPs to build more interconnects between the basic internet, which are the big pipes that run the internet, which mm-hmm. they finance, Google, Netflix, Yahoo, Amazon, well, not Yahoo anymore, but Amazon. All the big players have to pay to get on the network as well. Mm-hmm. So they're paying access fees to get on. So the publishers pay access fees and the users pay access fees. That should be enough, generally speaking. But they, you know, private companies, they work together to make sure everything is working properly, because it's in Netflix's interest to make sure that their content can smoothly flow mm-hmm. from the internet to the ISP. So they do actually already do projects with ISPs to make sure that they're built out properly.
I thought they did too. So I didn't understand why this was such a huge problem in South Korea. And the only reason I was concerned about this is I didn't want it to interrupt my Korean content. Yeah. I mean, it was completely self-serving. And I got up in arms. I was literally almost in tears. It,
from the ISP standpoint, if they could get someone else to pay for their upgrades, why not? You know, it's just more profit for them. What it is here is it's a basic disruption of the fundamental principle of how the internet is paid for right
yes.
now. It's trying to shift from access fees to delivery fees,
yes.
which, as you said, you can understand why that makes sense, because if someone's delivering more stuff to you, then they should pay more, right? If you drive more miles, you should probably pay more in gas. It's not like gas is free, right? You pay for how much gas you use. It's the same thing with the internet, except it's not. We pay access fees because it's not a physical thing. And access fees have always covered the cost up until now. And actually, they still do. And it's still, it's good for everybody, because it promotes competition and makes competition easier.
Right. So, yeah, I just didn't want it to interrupt the Korean content. And I thought that there was like some, I mean, there's a chance if this goes through that it can, you know, and if
I don't think it'll interrupt I guess in a roundabout way it might, but it won't directly, because it's basically the opposite. If you're in South Korea, what would happen is, you know, YouTube might stop working, because South Korea would start charging YouTube for data that comes into their network.
Right.
Data going out from South Korea to the rest of the world, you know, nobody else has these usage fees yet. So therefore, it wouldn't be blocked that way. It's inbound traffic that would be problematic.
Okay. But even if they had to use the same lines to push the content out of Korea?
Right. Because it's usage fees.
Okay.
So if they start charging usage fees, it's just people having to pay
incoming.
For stuff that's coming in, right? So and that's kind of a, well, I hate to say it, but that's kind of a dick move. But since no one else is charging usage fees, the first person to do it has a lot of advantage, because their content can go out still basically for free, mm-hmm. but everyone else has to pay to get into their market.
Right. Well,
or they could just say, you know, South Korea, we don't want to play anymore, so goodbye.
Netflix does produce, like, they have a lot of Korean content that they produce, and you know, it's like the creative part I think could disappear, you know, because if they have to pay
more
to use the lines, basically.
No, it wouldn't be that, but what you said earlier is that they would have less interest in Korean content, since they can't deliver into that market. Why would they want to deliver out of that market? So and that might have an impact on the creators.
Right. I just was very upset about it. And we talked a bit about it earlier in the week, and I was kind of going down the slippery slope, and you righted my rational wrong in terms of a slippery slope.
But I totally get where you were coming from, mm-hmm. because the video you sent me, and that was Asian Boss, you said?
Yes.
I could.
We'll link it. I thought it was...
That was a genuinely awful video. It was like 37 minutes, I think, of people who are either ignorant of the topic, talking about the topic, or just lying about what's actually going on. The whole thing was just such a cluster.
I don't think they were lying. I think it was really their perspective.
I can't believe that they're that ignorant then, because they just made all the wrong analogies.
Yeah, it upset me, and I thought, oh my God, the world is coming to an end and we're all going to be isolated because everyone's going to start charging for content. But like, I guess that was my point. It's like, if, like you said, it behooves someone to be the first person doing it, and then they kind of set the bar, so to speak, or, you know, the protocols. But, you know, if you're going to start the usage fee scenario across boundaries, across countries, you know, when does it stop? I mean, is it, you know, because I thought Indonesia, they were talking about Indonesia, and I read another article in like 2021, right. Indonesia tried a similar thing and it failed. But like Europe, there have been, you know, little glimmers of this.
Europe is a bad case because they do dumb things. You know, their commissions, oh boy. Thankfully they haven't gotten, they consider these things, and it's fine to consider them.
Right.
Just don't implement them.
Right. Right. And then it's like content creators, not that our content is so widely sought after and consumed, but could you imagine being like a small or relatively competent content creator and then getting a bill from Argentina or something? I mean, it just would blow your mind. I mean, is that what would happen?
In theory, now, I would simply put caps on it. Uh-huh. In South Korea, they were talking about if you go over a certain amount, right then the delivery fees only occur if you go viral. So one easy way to avoid that is just simply, once your view has more than 5,000 views in North Korea, you turn it off.
North Korea. No.
Man, that'd be awesome if we had 5,000 views in North Korea.
I don't even want to address that.
Though I don't think our advertising options would be very high in North Korea.
I don't think so.
We could
advertise
for dirt, maybe?
I don't know what.
Used tires? I don't know.
I don't know what they do up there.
Not a lot. They dig holes to plant seeds in to try to get through the winter.
I'll be doing that soon.
It's pretty bleak.
So we won't get a bill from Argentina or South Korea?
Well, not at the moment, but we could, except that, you know, we could put safeguards in place so that that didn't happen.
So we'd never go viral.
Well, we could also try that. We could dumb down our podcast even further and make it even less interesting so that no one wants to listen to it.
Well, that's a very...
In fact, we should get a bonus. The government should pay us subsidies to make our stuff so bad that no one wants to listen to it. So
we use no stream.
Like,
yeah, we use no...
Like, it's like farmers getting paid not to plant crops.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
I'm waiting for my check.
Okay, so we require no data because...
We are saving the internet because nobody's downloading our stuff.
We just save the internet.
Costs nothing. Oh, and you know, it's worth pointing out, though.
Yes.
People have this idea that the internet is free. Obviously, it's not. You have to build the infrastructure. But also, once the infrastructure is built, once you're on it, once you've paid your access fees, it's still not free. Mm-hmm. Sending data over the network is not free. It's still... You still have electrical costs just to send the data.
You're right.
And that's expensive.
Yeah.
Especially the rising cost of energy.
Yeah, this whole argument scenario, it got me thinking about the internet in a whole different way. It really did.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and I do hope that the South Korean legislators, the lawmakers, consider the impact it could have on their cultural... I mean, they've just had this cultural explosion. It's been really beautiful to watch. It's fun content. It's interesting.
For you.
For me. Well, for many people. It's not just me. I'm not like the only, you know.
Well, of the two of us.
Yeah, of the two of us, I enjoy it immensely. You know, and I love their culture. I just would hate to see them put a hamper to that, like hamper that growth when it's been so good for the country. And I just never want to like not see BTS. Or like some other Asian.
You got kind of angry at BTS over something last week, didn't you?
Not angry. I was just in a pickle in my mind. I wasn't angry. It was like RM was being lauded as being like this art superstar. Not super, like such an expert. And I'm like, okay. And I don't know. It just, some things annoy me. I was annoyed for a minute. I can't stay annoyed at RM. He's too cute.
I get that, why you would be annoyed at it. But again, like we've said about AI art,
mm-hmm.
the current options are worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you replaced all the high-end artwork, mm-hmm. current artwork, with artificially intelligently designed artwork, generated mm-hmm. artwork, we wouldn't be any worse off.
Mm-hmm.
And our art critics these days aren't any better than some singer from some boy band from South Korea or North Korea. I don't know if there are any boy bands. You know, you need to
There are no boy. I don't believe there are boy bands in North Korea. I don't know because I don't follow anything in North Korea because I don't think there's anything to follow.
I think you should move to North Korea and create boy bands.
Oh, I think you should just...
There is probably a huge underserving of that market.
Yeah. I think that... Didn't they ban BTS or something up there? They said they were contributing to something. I don't know. Whatever. But no, it was just like, you know, RM all of a sudden is like this art critic and, you know...
And more power to him. Why not?
I know. It's like, I was irritated for a minute. It was probably because... You know, my bathroom reconstruction wasn't going well. And then I read the article. I'm like, oh, of course. You know, and then I got over it. I'm over it now. I'm okay.
It's all relative, though. It's like if you replace Donald Trump with Liz Cheney as the leader of the Republican Party, you are so much better off. It's the same thing in the art world. If you take the, mm-hmm. you know, it's so crummy right now,
mm-hmm.
the leadership of the art world, that mm-hmm. even if you take a right-wing maniac like Liz Cheney, and everyone would be better off.
In the art world?
Well, I'm saying in the political world, but in the art world, if you did that, you know, there's nothing you can't look around and pick a worse leader than Donald Trump or our current leaders of the art world.
Right. So RM was a step up, is what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
He's the Liz Cheney of the art world. He's like,
I'm sure he'll be happy to know that.
You think they're crazy and bad, but no, this would be a huge step up.
I don't think he's crazy and bad. I think he's adorable and brilliant. Okay. But I just...
As an art critic.
As an art critic, it's just like, you know, because I just went back to that interview that we talked about several podcasts ago, and you're like, he said it's his interest now. And you're like, that seems like arbitrary. Like what happens when he gets bored?
Right.
You know, and I heard your voice. And it tainted my perception.
I'm so sorry that my voice is in your head. I really am.
I know. It was at that moment. And so, no, I thought that was the only time I was triggered a bit by, you know, anything BTS related. Other than that, it's like...
Don't get me wrong. I love being me, but I don't expect anyone else to love being me. And I don't think it's a good thing that anyone else has to have me in their head.
I know. Rent free.
I should charge for that, though.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
Usage fee.
Gosh, you know, yeah, delivery fee.
Delivery fee.
On delivering thoughts into your head
mm-hmm.
instantaneously. You should pay me for that.
Oh, gosh.
Took a lot of work to get there.
Yeah, so that was what triggered me, other than bad art triggered me, but we can talk about that another time.
I totally get why this video from Asian Boss, which I don't know how he can twist that to make it seem, because he's boss of nothing when it comes to this.
No, they have great content.
Well,
they
this
do.
Was... terrible content. If their other content is anything like this, you
no,
know,
no,
maybe you should
no.
question it. But
no, I don't question
I certainly
it.
Wouldn't trust them to say anything about anything after this.
Well,
I mean, their analogies are so bad. And they try to make it about free speech. And it's like, no one seems to understand what free speech is. Free speech doesn't mean you get to get up on whoever's platform you choose and say whatever you want. Freedom of speech means that the government can't come in and quash your speech. That's all it means. That's all
right.
It means. It doesn't. Twitter, as a private company, can delete whatever content you have.
Right.
You don't get a platform on. That's not freedom of speech. Saying whatever you want on Twitter is not freedom of speech.
Right.
That got me angry. And the other thing, they actually brought up the analogy of TV.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really explain it very much because it's completely against their argument. Because the idea that TV and the internet are two wildly different things. TV is one signal that goes out across the land. So, you know, you've got one person in control of that one signal, but it's really cheap to send one signal out. That was the beauty of TV. You have one signal, doesn't cost that much to send one signal out. The internet is completely different. Every time you're receiving something, it's a separate signal. So let's think about a TV show. If you watch Stranger Things on like regular TV broadcasting,
okay.
Everyone's getting the same signal. You're broadcasting the entire country in one signal, as opposed to Say that's 4 million people are watching it. So that's one signal that is going to 4 million people, as opposed to the internet version where every 4 million people watching it, that's a separate signal. Even though it's the same show, it's 4 million signals.
Wow.
So that's literally like 4 million times the price that it costs to send out. So them trying to use TV as some kind of analogy.
Free speech.
It works for the other guys, right? It's like the internet service providers are like, see, I mean, if 4 million people are watching the show, that's 4 million signals we have to send out. As opposed to only 100,000, you know, if only 100,000 people are watching something or listening to us. The one analogy that did make sense, I think this is probably the last thing I say about it.
Okay.
Was, you know, if you have a neighborhood and everybody builds a house and everybody builds the road in front of their house and then everybody walls off that road so that you have to pay usage fees to get in and out, it's madness, right? Because you have to pay 50 cents to get, you know, 50 feet. And then you got to pay someone else and you've got to try to figure out how to do all that charging. And then, you know, by the time you are in your neighborhood, you pay $20 just to get out of your... That's the other model the internet could work on. And that's not the model we want. So we definitely
that's not
want
the model
neutrality.
We want. Yeah.
We just, but, you know, the way South Korea is looking at doing it, it's not the right way.
It's not the right way. And I was worried that being not the right way, if it was like lucrative for the ISPs, that other countries would start doing this and that would be, you know, and I know it's a slippery slope argument, but if like where there's money, you know, that is a reality.
And that gets down to politics. You know, who has
politics.
More political pull? If
right.
if the ISPs have all the political power, then they will mandate that the you know, access fees be damned, and they will start insisting yeah. upon delivery fees.
Yeah, and that will clamp down on a lot of yeah. creativity and clamp down. There was another, actually, I just found it today, and I sent it to you rather late, but it's from Soulight, and I'll link it in the notes because he addressed, and I love his channel too, and he addressed the Asian Boss content and pretty much said the same sort of things, but in a very non-emotional and really just broke it down. And I was instantly calmed when I saw this morning, and I should have sent it to you earlier, except I didn't find it earlier. I found it at like 7:30
yeah,
this morning. It was too late. But he used the road analogy too, and who pays for the road. And, you know, basically he said that he felt that the ISPs were just saying in a way, you know, it's unfair the foreign companies aren't paying for our extortion. He felt that, you know, if the government gave these ISP rights to have their business, they have the responsibility to keep the channels open, period. That was the crux of the argument. And I liked that. And so I'll link both of them. And no, I think Asian Boss has a fantastic channel. I think it was a little bit of an emotional response to the situation. I didn't think it was particularly bad.
I think their channel is a joke now.
No, don't.
No, having seen this one video, that's the only thing I can judge them on. But this was such a bad video that I wouldn't trust any content from them.
Oh, no. But, you know, look at it as like from their perspective of a content provider. And
I don't care. They got the basic facts wrong, and they just kept spewing this emotional plea, basically, over intellect.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to shade them too much because I really do like them. I'll link both of them. Anyway, but I'm in the process. I probably have to cut this short because I'm in the process of researching territorial women's wear so I can get used to the new reality in Arizona.
Okay. That sounds like something I don't even begin to understand.
Territorial women's wear?
Yeah, don't even start explaining it because that seems like a whole nother thing.
It is a whole nother thing. I think that's about it.